Christopher Media. Eminem, question everything.
That's my mama.
That's my mama. That's my purse.
I don't know you.
You don't know. You're the first one that's ever got that. I say it all the time. Brianna's like, what?
King of the Hill references.
Yeah, King of the Hill.
You won't find those on any other podcast.
Eminem, question everything. On iTunes and ChristopherMedia.net. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise.
Thanks for downloading another Weedsman Nugget brought to you by the Weedsman Podcast. We had such a great conversation with Rob St. Mary last week. We bring you a whole nother hour's worth of conversation with him covering movies, Quentin Tarantino, children's shows, and everyone's favorite recreational drug.
So the first, like I said, the book's really kind of in three sections because I do the reprints and things like that and kind of explain the history of what was happening. So the first section is the punk scene and White Noise, and we talk about sort of what gave birth to all that, and then into Fun in the mid-80s and what that was all about, and then Orbit. And probably the biggest sort of international connection that Orbit has and will continue to have because it's such a kick-ass movie is the connection to Pulp Fiction that basically some people outside of Detroit wouldn't either see or notice. So
I remember, we went and saw that movie the day it was released and just freaked out. I was like speechless at first. I was like just pointing at the screen like get.
Exactly, which is Quentin Tarantino in his scenes wears an Orbit t-shirt. So,
yeah,
there's a pretty fascinating story as to why he wears the Orbit t-shirt. So,
why is
there? Is, yeah, but you can't just leave us hanging with that.
You got to buy the book.
when can we, when is that available?
Next year.
All right.
Yeah,
we'll have to make sure we give you another plug when it comes out.
I'm telling you, man, this is a long process. I didn't expect it to take this long because when I started it, I thought I was just dealing with one magazine, and then I found out I was dealing with three. So I had to go through basically about 15 years of monthly magazines to document everything, write everything down, figure out what they were covering, how they were covering it, and then I interviewed well over 50 people who were either covered by it, connected by it, in some way, could work there, had some sort of connection. And it's been great. And, you know, even had some more well-known folks chime in, which is nice. Like got a chance to have an interview with Jack White, and Jack was generous with his time in terms of what he had to say about it. So it was pretty cool.
Nice. Yeah, I can't wait to read it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. But if you really want to know, and I'll give you the condensed version on the Tarantino Orbit connection, Orbit was the first magazine to give Tarantino cover for one of his films, which was Reservoir Dogs, about a year or two before. And they sent him some shirts, and then he wrote back and called and said, can you send me like 10 more of these? I need it for my next film. And they're like, oh, sure. So they sent it to him, and then they didn't know what he was going to do with them until they showed up. So, but the story behind it's pretty cool, like how, you know, why he was so sort of enamored with Orbit for giving him his first cover. So it's nice to know that people kind of, you know, respect back to those who have given them a little attention when they're trying to get going early.
You mean Reservoir Dogs? No, Orbit was the only person to give him cover on that?
They got the first cover.
Oh, okay.
So their first cover was Orbit magazine, yeah.
Wow, but I mean, it's not like that was like a small movie. It wasn't like he wasn't using actors from the fucking film school in that movie, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was a small film when it came out.
Right.
And part of it has to do with the fact that it played at the Toronto Film Festival, and he used to cover Toronto Film Festival every year that they were around. So
yeah, so if you want to see what the Orbit mascot looks like, and that's what's on the shirt, right? It's Orby.
Yep.
Is that correct?
It's Orby. Yeah.
It's the scene right after Marvin gets shot in the face, and they go to his house, and he says, you know, don't tell me I have great coffee.
Yeah.
that whole scene. He's wearing the Orbit t-shirt and that, if you want to see what it looks like.
The Bonnie situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's what it's called. So it's pretty cool. You know, a lot of good stuff.
Well, hey, I appreciate you, man. You've given us a large chunk of your time here, man.
Yeah. Thank you.
An hour?
What? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, my shows on the projection booth can go up to 4 hours. So this is like, you know, this is nothing.
It's just getting warm, right?
Oh, we were recording?
Yeah. You know, we
got to do that over again.
I am toying with trying to maybe get us all out there in April, maybe do a Weedsman out in Colorado.
Okay.
That could be interesting.
Yeah. The thing is I moved. I'm in a smaller place, so you guys might have to do it on locale somewhere else. I don't know if I could store all you plus my cats in my studio apartment.
Oh, no, I get hotel rooms. It's I learned that for some reason Pueblo is the city to stay in out there. Apparently they don't give a shit in their hotels or
Pueblo, isn't that where you send away for that book?
That's right. all of those spots, yes. The Consumer Information Office, Pueblo, yeah. Colorado, yeah. 162 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't remember those commercials, Rob?
No.
those old PSAs, yeah, that they would play in between episodes of Kid Bits.
It was like something like information about getting government grants or something. And
yeah, I think it was like the precursor to the guy with all the crazy
it's
question
It's my money
marks.
And I want it now.
Yeah. Do you know the government can buy you a towel and toilet paper?
By the way, Rob, making the second Kid Bits reference on the Weeds.
I'm so sad right now. I've got to like call him and see if he's A, still alive, and B, willing to still talk to me. I tracked down the Gary Ed Mock. I found him. He's still around. He's in the Detroit area. And I write sometimes for my friend Chris, his blog, Commodore Crush blog. And he's a Midwest guy, and he always was looking for stuff. And I thought this would be the perfect opportunity to do an interview and like sort of, what the hell is Gary Ed Mock doing? It's like, if you're a kid of a certain era and you grew up watching Kid Bits, you were like, oh my God, this is like the Detroit version of Mr. Wizard, except he's much more straight. So I was emailing with him. He's like, oh, yeah, it's me, and I'll do an interview. And then he just sort of fell off the face of the earth. So I've got to track him down and see if I can get him, because I'd love to do an interview with him and talk about Kid Bits, because I'm sure maybe he has a couple of good stories about that.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to hear that.
Wow, he's all over YouTube, man. That's crazy.
Oh, those Kid Bits episodes are all up there. Those, and then the one I was reminded of, and although I know it ran originally for the first time in the 70s, and then it was rebroadcast and reruns when I was a kid, was the Hot Fudge Show.
Yeah.
Yeah,
was my shit.
Yeah, because you had two guys on there who were amazing songwriters. You had Rod Cohen and you had Larry Santos.
Okay.
And most people of a certain age would remember the old Windsong jingle from the commercial. And he also did, if you're in Detroit, he did the Dietrich Furs.
Furs.
Yeah, he's the male voice on that. So he was
nice.
And the Hot Fudge Show was, he's just a great songwriter. And he would write these songs for that. And basically, like Hot Fudge was like a low-rent kind of Sesame Street with like hip songs. And was very sort of, I guess, like funk disco infused because it was in the 70s.
They were super funky intros, just like Hot Fudge. Yeah.
Hot
come
fudge,
on.
Holy moly. Holy song. Oh, it's so good. If you haven't seen Hot Fudge, you can find that on there as well on YouTube.
Yeah, we got your boy up on the screen here, Gary Ed Mock.
That is so my jam.
Oh, man.
And all his ginger glory.
It's good stuff.
All right, Rob. Well, thanks, man.
Hey, no problem.
Well, you'll be on. I'm sure you'll be on again. But also, starting in October, what are we shooting for here? Every week, every other week, once a month?
My plan is to do one for each Friday's show.
All right.
Cool.
Nice.
And it won't be that long. Like I said, my show can run up to 4 hours. These things will probably be 5 minutes. So,
cool.
You know, my whole goal with it is to give you movies that you might want to watch that aren't the typical, stoner movies.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to review Cheech and Chong. Why? I mean, if you're half-baked, you know, what's the point? So my idea is to try and give you films that are a little odd and off that you might enjoy because maybe you want that kind of experience when you're, you know, sitting around. And I want to just, like I said, I want to find things that aren't directly connected to it in that way. Although I will be talking about a film probably in the next few weeks whose creator had hoped would be the equivalent of taking LSD. So I'm going to go much further than that. But
all right.
I want to ruin it for you. But
I think I know.
But is it that one animated film that made me feel all weird?
Well, sadly, this movie never got made.
No, okay. And,
but it's one of the it's one of the best, and I know it's a documentary, but it's one of the best films I've seen in the past probably 5 years.
Cool. Now, do you smoke to these when you are watching them and reviewing them, or do you take candy to them?
No.
Checking his credentials.
Actually, I'm kind of amazed that I'm awake because I have a tendency when it comes to use and functionality, I can't. I usually use.
You just and doubt out.
Yeah, like you were saying, this guy's a liar because he smokes. I remember it was in the last episode I listened to, you're like, yeah, this guy's a liar. Yeah, oh, I smoke and just go to bed. Yeah, right.
Not buying it.
Yeah, not buying it. That is me. I can't do smoke and go function and have a day. It's just not possible. So I refer to it among my friends as herbal Ambien. So there you go.
Nice.
No, a lot of people do. All right, Rob. Well, thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Hey, no problem. Like I said, always interested to hang out and talk to the folks via satellite from
And this really isn't our Denver feed. You know, you make a joke, you know, you made a joke before about we've lost our Denver feed. This really is our Denver feed.
Yeah, I'm a little higher up. I'm, you know, at least a mile and a half up as opposed to a mile high. which most people, I don't think, know this if you've never been here. The great thing about altitude, once you get used to it, or even if you never do, is you can drink half as much.
Yeah.
So you don't have to drink as much to get drunk.
Does a bottle of scotch last you like 6 months?
And on the other hand, you have to hit your inhaler twice as much.
Yeah, it was. I find that I can have two beers, just two pints. You know, if I go to the bar and I'm like, woof, or two glasses of wine, yeah. So, like, I'm good.
Coors Brewery is against what Rob is talking about,
right?
Well, speaking of, they just took over that town near me a couple of weeks ago. The Bud Light folks.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear about this? The,
no.
The whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever USA. They paid.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I did. That was a promotion that they did, yeah.
Yeah, they had this thing where they flew like 1,000 people to some town and all this stuff. Well, it was quite controversial. It's actually it's about 15 miles from where I am.
Yeah.
But you have to get in a car and drive all the way around. So it's more like 3 hours because of the way the mountains are laid out around here. But anyway, Crested Butte. He said butt, B-U-T-T-E. So anyway, Crested Butte, Bud Light came to them and said, we want to make the town, you know, whatever USA and do this party, but we can't tell you really too much about it. And we're going to give you $250,000. And town's like, that's not enough. So they gave him $500,000 and they took over like a large section of this town, which is tiny. I mean, there's only about, I guess, maybe like 1,000 or 2,000 people live there. It's mostly a ski village, you know. People come there in the winter, and it was just crazy. Like some of the locals,
kind of like Indecent Proposal.
Yeah, there you go. So some of the locals were kind of complaining about, well, you know, this town's taken over, and I guess all of the bars in town, the only thing they could serve the whole weekend was Bud Light. You couldn't get anything else.
Gross.
Yeah.
And really, Bud Light, you only come with $500,000. I mean, yeah. Robert Redford came with a cool $1 million.
Hence the name, whatever.
Yeah. So they took over the town and they did this big thing, and you know, it was just kind of interesting how some of the folks were like, "Oh, that's a get them out of here." It was quite humorous to watch because the county sheriff and think the city police or whatever, put out a message telling people not to come to town. They're like, don't come here this weekend. We've got this party. You can't get in. There's nowhere to park. Nice. There's nowhere for you to stay. Do not come here.
But, so, which is kind of like advertising your movie as like too shocking to see. Stay home.
Exactly. Keep telling yourself it's only a movie. Yeah.
Well, rewind this and smoke to it every Friday.
That's what it's about, man. It's going to be fun. And if anyone has any suggestions, I suggest that they tweet at you.
Yes, actually, at the Weedsman 420. If you type in at you, it won't be tweeting at us.
No.
I meant tweet to you.
I know. I'm being a smart ass around.
I know. I understand. But I think it would be cool to get a discussion around what are, you know, films that you like to watch or things you like to watch when you're, you know, baked out.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
I tell you one I watched at Hyde, I'd never want to watch Ty again, was I watched Pi. Was it Darren Aronofsky?
Okay.
Yeah.
My brain wanted to explode at the end of that movie.
Yeah.
See, I watched it sober and I was rather irritated.
I would tell people, and this is a totally different substance, that sort of on par with waterboarding is when your friends give you acid and then play Aphex Twin at you full blast. I never want that experience.
Anymore.
I know that story.
In a way, I was in a way forced to. I guess it was. I wasn't forced to do this, but it was a condition of me taking the acid was that I had to go see the Spice Girls movie the next morning when it came out. With this group of people, which actually ended up being not so bad of an experience because we had most of the theater to ourselves, but.
Were you allowed to masturbate?
Anyway.
On that note.
Yeah.
People that got shot in the back of the head in a theater. Abe Lincoln.
Yeah.
And the guy sitting in front of Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah. There you go.
Thank you.
All right, Rob. Well, we will talk to you soon, sir. Well, actually, I'll probably talk to you within a few minutes, but thanks for coming and hanging out, and check them out, the Projection Booth. It's a projection-booth.com.
Correct, and Pro Booth Cast on Twitter, and we're on Facebook. We're easy to find, and come check it out. Like I said, pharmaceutical-grade film geekery, I guess, is what the folks over at the Onions AV Club said about us.
That's a high compliment.
I agree.
AV Club does good stuff. It's nice that they even pay attention.
No, and what we keep going. Didn't you get something else? I saw online recently. Someone else mentioned you too.
No, it's just been great. I mean, we get a lot of really nice reviews on iTunes, like I'm sure you guys do. That's really what it's about, right? You know, yeah. Go to iTunes and review
the feedback.
The show.
It's invaluable. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, really? I mean, when you get down to it, it's just a matter of people going, oh, you know, I don't want to bother them, or you know, they're busy with their lives or whatever. But you know, when you drop a review, you know, you. Shoot us a tweet or call, you know, put in the call line or whatever, email. It's just nice to know that people are paying attention and what they find funny. So
yeah,
it's pretty cool. Filmmaker Magazine said, absurdly long but thoroughly immersive series of roundtable discussions about cult films. So it's just a broad range of stuff. I don't even consider what we do cult films. I think it's more sort of things that you should either reconsider or maybe you haven't heard of.
Stuff that kind of slipped under the radar.
Yeah. I mean, the Projection Booth, I mean, just the idea of calling it that, it's about everything, man. You know, like I said, I know some people who will only, you know, oh, we're only talking about horror movies. We're only talking about sci-fi films. We're only talking about movies made on Stephen King novels or something. It's like, that's way too limiting.
Right.
I think it just gets to me after a while.
And true movie lovers just love movies. You can't.
Oh yeah.
You can't. There are people out there who only watch horror movies, and they're like, "Oh yeah, I love movies. I've seen every Halloween. I've seen every Friday the 13th." I'm like, that's not loving movies. You love a specific genre. That's like the people who only listen to industrial music. Whereas if you love music, you listen to whatever appeals to you.
You know, film, and I guess it's kind of this way with really kind of like any art form. But I always like to tell people that there's really like two genres of music that you kind of need a guide for. Otherwise, if you pick up the wrong thing, you're totally going to be turned off to it. And I would say that's classical and jazz. And I kind of feel the same way if you dive into film beyond what's playing at just at the multiplex. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, nothing against Guardians of the Galaxy. I love Guardians of the Galaxy. I went and saw the Lego movie this year, and I thought that was great, too. But the thing is, it's like if you get under the surface, if you move beyond what you see in the mainstream, that stuff's going to challenge you. It's going to be a little bit different. And I think that what a show like The Projection Booth can do, or good film reviewers and writers, is they can sort of give you an in and go, okay, well, did you see this? Yeah, okay, well, you should check this out. For example, I tell people who like Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm like, do yourself a favor and go back and look at James Gunn's two other sort of were oddball superhero movies, mm-hmm. one called Super, but the one that I really like is called The Specials, which he wrote about sort of like the sixth, you know, most incredible superhero team. So it's like people with really bad, you know, they got really bad superpowers and they got problems in their lives and it's funny. I mean, it's kind of like Watchmen,
right up my alley,
I mean, to be honest. But it's called The Specials. You know, so that's really what I think a good reviewer can do is they can bring you in and say, okay, you've listened to this or you've seen this. Now check this out.
Yeah, that's why I love Thomas' video so much, because I didn't know a lot of people who liked more weirder movies like I did. And so I could go there. It was actually worked right down the street from it at the time when I was going like throughout the 90s and into the 2000s. I would just go there and say, hey, what do you recommend? I watched this last. What's next? And they would always have a recommendation for me.
Yeah, and that's really what it's about. I think it's about jumping from place to place and having someone kind of be your guide in that way.
Yeah.
And that's why I say with such a huge cultural loss that Thomas Video is not there anymore.
Yeah.
Because that library has now been split up. Right. Everything's all over the place, you know. And part of the problem is, and I thought that digital media was really going to be the place where everything would be available.
Right,
because you don't have to pay for distribution costs, really. You don't have to pay to make a physical object and send it to someone. So, therefore, I would think that everything, you know, that's out there should be available. But that's not the case. Like, I'm seeing stories about Netflix, and they're saying that actually you're not getting more, you're getting less. Because a lot of the stuff that was on VHS has never been on DVD. The stuff that's been on DVD hasn't been on digital download or digital, you know, streaming. So, it's... You know, even bad movies deserve to be taken care of. I mean, it's like even bad art shouldn't be mistreated, you know.
Sure, it's all representative of its time.
Yeah. I mean, even like even movies that I don't like, I can at least figure out what they're doing. And the thing that's interesting beyond that is going, this is a certain place in a certain time. It's part of a certain flow of ideas.
Right.
It's like bands, you know. Yep. Like if you're into, like you were saying, industrial bands, right? It's like, okay, so, you know, yeah, this... You know, Throbbing Gristles, the original starter of that. You get into the Ministry and Nine Inch Nails, and then there were these other bands, and then there were these really bad ones that were like trying to be in that. And while I don't appreciate it, I understand how they got influenced by this. So it's really about like this larger sort of like creative flow and how you can, even if you're a creative person like you guys are, and I am, being able to take from that and figure out what they were doing, how they were doing it, and what made those things interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Once a week, twice a week, every 2 weeks?
Once a week, every late Tuesday, early Wednesday, projection-booth.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and we even have our own free app. So we'll ping you on the app and tell you when the episode's up, and our social media feeds are in there, and you can make comments, or you can hit a button, you can call and leave voicemail. So, yeah, it's all in there.
Cool. Well, thanks for joining us, Rob.
Real quick before you go, though, I don't know if you have more time. I've got a couple of subjects that I wanted to bring up if you wanted to hang out and talk more with us.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything. I'm just chilling.
Okay.
Oh, all right. Cool.
All right.
Actually, I thought you were trying to get me off the line because you had to go do something.
No.
Why don't I do one thing? Why don't I go get a glass of water?
Quick break.
I'll be right back. So give me just a sec.
Hey,
week. Thank you for listening, liking, and sharing the Weedsman Podcast on Facebook and following us on Twitter at TheWeedsman420. TheWeedsmanPodcast@ChristopherMedia.net is the email. You can subscribe to the Weedsman Podcast on iTunes for free by clicking through the iTunes banner on ChristopherMedia.net. Android users, you can find the Weedsman Podcast on Stitcher Radio. We got you covered. You can donate to Christopher Media by using the PayPal button on ChristopherMedia.net. Hey, please click through the Amazon banner and bookmark the page. When you buy something, Amazon is going to kick back some money to help keep Christopher Media going. And if you are looking to launch your own website, please click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net. That's who we use to host all of the Christopher Media shows, like the Weedsman Podcast. We come out Tuesdays and Fridays. It seems to be working out. Unregimented comes out every Monday and Thursday. M&M Question Everything comes out on Sundays. And the Toddzil X-Pod, whenever the hell he fucking feels like it. When you sign up for HostGator by clicking through our link, you are helping to support ChristopherMedia.net. DraftKings is one day fantasy sports. No being locked into one team for an entire season. You can draft a new team every day. Christopher Media listeners winning real money every day at DraftKings. Please click through the banner at ChristopherMedia.net. Sign up today at DraftKings.com.
I can see your shirt from here. I believe that is the cover of the Smiths album, which is Joe D'Alessandro, isn't it?
That is correct.
Yeah. Cool. So
one of my favorite albums.
Yeah, before I had to go get some water and do the pee break deal. What was it else you wanted to talk about?
Well, let's see. You had brought up the campaign, the Consume Responsibly campaign.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they're doing is challenging the campaigns that have come before it, talking to kids about marijuana and trying to warn them against the side effects. And they have kind of a tongue-in-cheek list of the different ways that marijuana can affect you according to previous PSAs on this, like fry your brain. Obviously, we know what that's a reference to.
It was running over someone on a tricycle.
No, it wasn't on it. That's one of my favorites.
One of my favorites on that, here's your brain, there's your brain on drugs.
Yeah.
And I know Chris knows this, is the Bill Hicks one, where he makes fun of it relentlessly. And I don't know if you can pull that up or not, if people want to hear that, but that thing is hilarious, where he's like, there's your brain on drugs. He's like, look, I've been really high in my life. But never have I mistaken an egg for a brain. I want to know what they're on.
But, I mean, that ad was ubiquitous. It was everywhere when I was a child. Everybody knew that.
Oh, yeah. It's like where's the beef? It's right. Like I've fallen and I can't get up.
Yeah,
it's,
it became like a punchline. It was a joke.
Yeah.
And also, do you remember?
They never really even specified which drugs either.
No, it was just all of them.
Yeah, which is funny because in the Bill Hicks bit, he's like, what, you have some guy who's hung over and drunk in a bathrobe telling me not to do drugs? Yeah, good choice.
Another way that marijuana can destroy your life, can hurt your children. Remember that commercial? Where'd you get this from? Where'd you learn how to do this?
Oh, I learned it from watching you.
I learned it from watching you.
They usually ran that right after, this is your brain on drugs.
Yep. Learned it from watching you, Dad.
That guy had that crazy porno mustache and the Jerry Crow for a white guy.
Had to have a Tampa box. Oh.
The what?
Have a Tampa, the cigar box, the yellow one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everybody.
Oh, yeah, specific.
That's right.
Like everybody whose parents smoked had like a cigar box. It just is.
Yeah. No, I found my rhythm dash. It was in a cigar box.
Was it a Have a Tampa?
I don't. It was white. Didn't they have a Tampa's orange box?
They're yellowish.
They're yellow. Okay, I don't know. I'm colorblind. How about marijuana can deflate your body? You remember that one?
I wish.
Really?
That would be awesome.
Really? Because I've never met a skinny stoner in my life. I mean, like every stoner I know is not deflated. They're inflated, and some maybe a bit too much for their own comfort at times when they hit Taco Bell at 3 a.m.
Yeah, this one was, they just show
don't
it.
Don't judge me.
like a teenage
I'm not judging
girl.
You, sir. Don't take it personal. Shit.
Oh, I thought that, I'm sorry.
Taco Bell lets you customize things. You can pour the nacho cheese on anything.
That's right. I'll serve it in a big, large cup, too.
Well, actually, the answer was the grossest food thing I've ever seen in my entire life when I was a kid.
What's
and
that?
I know there's been worse. But he sat and proceeded to eat, I think within 5 minutes or less, two double quarter pounders of cheese and fries right in front of me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was disturbing.
I can't do that now. Disturbing. Oh, God, no, I can't do that now. I'd end up in the hospital if I did that now.
Did you say two double quarter pounders?
Pounders.
Oh, man, because like a double quarter pounder used to be my shit for a while, but it would knock me out. I'd have to have a nap afterwards. That's a big, that's a lot of beef.
Yeah. Oh, and I took every...
He took every glorious inch of it.
I did. Hot beef injection. Orally.
Orally. In your orifice.
What else? Is that it?
No. How about you'd also be supporting terrorism by smoking weed?
Jihad.
Right?
That was September 11th. There was a lot of those ads. Yeah.
Oh.
Well, the two gentlemen at the dispensary I frequent are of Arabic descent, so, who knows?
And so are you.
I know.
Wait a minute.
I could be a terrorist.
But yeah, you know, because everybody's still smoking Afghani Kush.
Yeah.
That was actually growing there. Right.
Got that Osama bin Laden.
I don't know, though. I'm about ready to defect to North Korea.
Right.
did you hear about that on our last episode?
On your last show, yeah. I'm about ready to defect to North Korea. I'll buy the 80-cent pot.
At those prices?
In a car, you know.
I love how Aaron just bitched about it immediately. Oh, it doesn't look that great.
Well, yeah. I'll smoke it all.
Gift horse.
Yeah,
spend your life on the sofa. Another one of them. They just had one where just a bunch of guys. It's like the other one where the girl sinks into the sofa.
I'll give them some credit on that one.
That's a possibility.
From Jackie Brown, where Samuel Jackson's talking to Bridget Fonda's character.
His little surfer girl.
You smoke enough of that shit, it's going to rob you of your ambition.
Yeah.
Which she says, none of your ambition is to get high and watch TV.
Yeah. That's such a great scene.
That is my favorite Tarantino film. I don't know if I've loved all his films, but I don't know if anything's going to beat Jackie Brown for me. I could watch it over and over again.
Mine's Jackie Brown or Django. That was pretty good.
Yeah, he's got a lot of good stuff. I mean, it's hard for me to pick it out. You know, when I went and saw Inglourious Bastards, I was a little on it.
Yeah,
but then I saw it again, and I'm like, this is great.
It was better for me the second time around too. I think I just watched more of what's his name, Christoph Waltz. Yes,
yeah.
I was way more into just watching him the second time around. He really made that movie for me.
The Bear Jew.
They also make reference to, you remember the animated ones they had not too long ago?
Oh, with the dog?
Yeah, Disappoint Your Dog. Well, they actually is Disappoint Your Dog, and then the next one is Disappoint Your Cartoon Dog. Because they had one where, one where the girl smokes weed. She comes home high, and the dog's looking at her all weird, and she feels bad. I'm like, what? You let your dog judge you?
Yeah, stop judging your dog.
You got this wrong. This relationship is all screwed up.
Yeah, doesn't the dog talk to her?
You know what's funny is a lot of the stuff that you're talking about is targeting kids and the kids' ads that we grew up with and all that stuff. And I was thinking about the first time I had ever heard of pot or kids using pot. And I must have been – it's like a third or fourth grade. And I was hanging out with a friend of mine whose brother I think was in high school. And I remember the first scare I ever heard, and this was before I think I remember these TV ads or anything – was his brother was talking about wheelchair, which I've come to find out is an actual strain of pot. But he was just like, you get this stuff, wheelchair, man, it'll paralyze you. And it's like, so I was like, holy shit. I'm like, there's like a drug, you do it once and you'd like, you get paralyzed.
Why would you want to do that? You gotta
be in a wheelchair. No, I'm not touching that stuff. So that's the first time I remember any sort of like scare stuff, but it was like among kids, like among ourselves, as opposed to watching some ad. I mean, I don't know if you remember anyone talking about, oh, you know, that stuff's terrible, or, you know, when you were little, like the first time you ever heard about stuff.
I don't know. Like, it just wasn't talked about. It wasn't. I didn't smoke pot until after I graduated, and it just wasn't ever on my radar at all. Any right. kind of drug. Even the people that I hung out with in high school, some of them would have identified themselves as straight edge, but it was just like, why?
Right. I'd say for me, pot showed up in high school.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as you got into high school, it started rearing its...
I'm not wishing that I would have discovered it sooner. I think it played out exactly how it should have.
Well, I mean, I didn't start touching it till later high school, but I mean, just saying, as far as its presence, it started being around at parties or people
I wouldn't even
had
know where
it or...
Yeah.
And the thing that was amazing to me before just recently, I mean, I had always been like every... In my adult life, it was like maybe like once every 2 years, you know, I'd meet someone and be like, hey, you want to smoke joint? Okay. And then just recently with all of, you know, moving to here and that, it's, you know, it's more available. And I'm like, okay, well, great. You know, I don't believe I'm going to be tested, you know, and things like that. Because when I was younger, that was always the concern because I was always trying to get another job. But anyway, I think I did more pot in high school and was easier to find than it was to even like get booze.
Really?
I don't know why.
Oh, yeah.
I just wasn't popular enough, that's all.
Well, there wasn't an age limit on pot. Like, if you ran into somebody who had pot, you could just buy it from them, whereas you had to get somebody old enough to buy you booze.
Right.
Yeah, so that's the thing I told people. It actually, once I got out of high school, I probably would have had to work pretty hard to find a hookup, you know?
Right.
But it just sort of seemed like when you were in school, it was like, well, you know, that guy's holding... That guy smoked in the parking lot in the morning. You know, you had all of these people like around you.
You just buy from the guy sitting next to you. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there was all kinds of stuff like that. It just seems odd when I look back on it as an adult. That's all. And then, you know, of course, you'll work somewhere when you're a teen or whatever, and then maybe someone will show you some crazy things, such as what I learned at the Race Rock when I worked there, how to make a pipe out of a carrot. By one of the cooks, so and that came in handy with some of my friends from time nice. To time.
Yeah, you know. Also, too, you learn about what the drive-throughs. You know,
going are you talking about buying weed through a fast food drive-through or
no,
the drive-through places to buy weed?
No, yeah, where you go over down the block, the guy flags you over, you tell him what you want,
yeah, you know, what you need,
yeah,
drive around,
go see him. Yeah.
Oh, the last one was you can lose your girlfriend to an alien.
What?
You remember that?
Whoa, what? What happened?
Remember the commercial where the guy, like, it's a little ant. It's the same one of the dog, the animated dog that's disappointed in the kid who smokes. And there's another one where he tells a story about smoking and his girlfriend gets pissed off because she's like, you're boring.
Are functionally retarded people writing our anti-drug propaganda?
And then she gets into a little flying saucer with a little green man and they fly off.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
But it was always strange to me because it's like your commercial seems to want to appeal to stoners.
You know, the thing is when you look at these ads and what they're really saying is these are all like the worst case scenarios.
Yeah.
It's like saying you really shouldn't drive because look how many deaths it causes each year. So if you drive, you're going to kill someone.
Right.
And I think that there's a big thing that I think it'll come down eventually as this becomes more legal in other places, much like how we like the heated rhetoric of prohibition with booze has gone away. If you go back and you look at all the, you know, old prohibition stuff, it's kind of ridiculous. But I mean, it's always been about moderation, at least for me. I mean, I understand that there are some people that have, you know, addictive qualities or personalities or behaviors or whatever, and that leads them to become, you know, someone who has to end up going to AA at some point or something like that.
Right, yeah, marijuana policy project that's responsible for this putting together this list of ridiculous ad campaigns, they have their website, which is consumeresponsibly.org, and they have this... whole campaign. There's actually a billboard that refers to the Maureen Dowd story where they show like a woman kind of with her head hung down, like she's got a headache or something in a hotel room. And it's like, it has their slogan on there for edibles, which is start low, go slow. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great slogan though.
You could use that for sex too. But, I went and looked at their website, consumeresponsibly.org. They have there's three main pages to it. One is know the law. It just describes in the different states what your rights are, what you can have, and how you can protect yourself. Know your limit is another one where they talk about consuming responsibly. Understanding when you take an edible or a concentrate, how much you're ingesting and how much you need, and how to pace yourself properly, just like you would with alcohol. You know, you understand that you don't, you can chug a beer, but if it's a Long Island, you better sip it. Right. And then also know your responsibility, which they had they had a little slogan on there, a tagline that said, "Don't be a pothole," which is basically, don't give somebody a brownie and not tell them it's got marijuana in it. And don't try and get other people who aren't interested in it to, you know, do it by peer pressure.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing for me when I think about it is all of these ads and things we grew up with as kids were all based around the worst case scenario of everything.
Yeah.
And I don't really think that that's a great place to kind of live your life in that kind of constant fear. Mm-hmm. Because then I think what happens is you start building sort of like Howard Hughes types that are going to lock themselves in a room and, you know, right. not deal with the outside world at all. And it's
like having
good.
PSAs against flying and just showing like plane crashes.
Yeah. I mean, life is really all about the odds. It's all about the numbers. Technically this thing's could lead to this problem or could kill you, but that, you know, out of what, like, what are the numbers, right?
Right.
Why live in fear?
And weigh it against the convenience or whatever it brings to your life to enrich it in some way.
Yeah. And exactly. And it's when things aren't enriching. It's when things become detrimental. It's right. when things make things harder in your life or for other people. Then you have a problem. So if you don't have that, then what's the problem? You know, if you're not blowing all your money on it, you can show up to work, you function normally, you can take care of what you need to take care of for right. yourself and other people. Really, who's to say, right?
Well, Chris and I are both really big Dr. Drew fans. It came up on our last Unregimented. We had
you'll hear that.
There's a bit of an argument over that with Todd and
Rich.
And Rich, too, yeah. But one thing that we know from listening to years of Loveline and even current Dr. Drew podcasts is that we just don't see eye to eye when it comes to marijuana, right? I mean, can you agree on that, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, he'll even tell you. He says he's not against smoking it.
Well, I don't know. What he was quoted on saying recently is that marijuana acts like an opiate and causes severe addiction, right? I mean, this is from an addiction medicine specialist, of course. Right. So, again, you know, if you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Right.
And also for somebody who probably, he doesn't seem to enjoy any kind of drug recreationally, except for alcohol, maybe. But
which, if he's a doctor, an addiction medicine specialist, that's kind of ironic.
Yeah, but he doesn't have an addiction problem. But I don't know. It just seems to paint all pot smokers with the same brush. Do you?
Oh, sorry. Oh,
okay. I don't know. I was trying to get a rise out of you, but I guess you're just you're not going to take the bait.
Well, I mean, it's...
He lists symptoms of withdrawal from marijuana.
All right, let's do this.
Severe anxiety.
I unplugged all last week.
Sleeplessness and irritability.
I'll agree with some of those.
Funny? Yeah. You know what's funny is all of that is exactly what's cured by using it.
Right.
If you listen to that list, right. It's like sleeplessness, anxiety,
Right, so you go back to your previous anxious state, basically.
I always joke with people. I call it my anxiety medication.
Sure.
Tell I'm not in a bell tower with a gun, man.
Right.
You know, I don't know, like... Yeah, it's keeps me mellowed the fuck out. That's a technical medical term too, by the way.
Well, I don't know. I guess he doesn't see anything healthy about it. He said that he wishes people would pass laws that enhance health and not jeopardize it.
Well, you know what? I guess the thing is maybe why you're not getting a rise out of me is whenever I hear anything like this from people, and then I hear they drink, I immediately just discount it.
Right.
Like, you're... Anything you've just said is now negated because you drink.
This is the real issue, though.
Yeah.
With that quote that you have there. And this is an issue for me and has been for years. And this is someone who doesn't know history, because he's like, oh, we should have laws, right? So what is he saying? We should have prohibition on this? How much money is wasted? How many people get locked up for this?
Right.
That's ridiculous. I mean, I am so to the point where if you learned nothing from alcohol prohibition, it just, that's what it seems like. It's,
yeah.
I mean, to me, I just think everything should be legalized. If you want it, you can get it, and then use the money for treatment programs or something like that. There's no reason to lock people up, and to just put it out in the open and have it there not only makes for, I think, better people health-wise, but would also make for better society, because you wouldn't have people fighting and killing each other in the streets over this stuff and being victimized. Because if I know you can't go to the cops and you just bought from me, or I know you, I can't go to the cops because this guy just, you know, beat my ass, mm-hmm. or something related to it, that is not good. And it's just not a way a society should be structured. I also sort of feel the same way with sex work, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that too.
Sex work, they should be protected by the law. It should be a job like any other. There should be standards, regulations, and whatever else goes along with it. But that's another place where people can be victimized. And basically, it's the drug culture and the sex culture of America, and that we're not comfortable with these things. We don't like talking about them. And there's a certain sort of, you know, hedonism, I guess, to a certain extent, that these two things represent. And our culture doesn't like that. So,
there's only certain hedonistic things that we all agree on, like getting drunk is okay, even though, you know, it causes way more auto accidents than marijuana ever will. Also, tends to be a more violent drug. You don't hear about people getting high and beating other people up.
Right.
But
not unless they've gotten high on PCP.
Getting high on marijuana, I'm sorry. You're right. I don't know. I lost my train of thought. I think it's about time to wrap this one up.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So that was it with those, the ones you want to talk about.
Marijuana fixed the memory.
I think that's the truth, I guess. But you guys are more connoisseurs than I am. I feel like I'm at the kids' table, you know? It's like, you guys are the reigning kings of cannabis.
Well, maybe we'll help you build your tolerance up. You know, over time, every time you come on the show.
Hey, come on. Don't be a pothole, Rob.
Hey, man.
No peer pressure around
Never
here.
Never peer pressure.
What's funny is, man, we were reading that. I was reading that website Aaron was talking about, and it's, why are they treating it? They could have the same websites for alcohol, and they don't.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, there should be. I don't know. Well, I guess there is a lot of, like, drink responsibly type of things in the advertisement. But right.
They're sitting there like, this is like a step-by-step guide of, like, lock up your pot and don't force it upon people. And, like,
you're right.
No, it's you're talking to us like we're 5 years old here. All right? Like, that's what, ooh, that's the website.
That website?
Yeah.
You feel talked down to by it?
Yeah.
Well, you're an experienced pot user, though. This is not for you.
This is for the new people.
This is for somebody who's interested, wants to partake, but doesn't want to doubt out in a hotel room somewhere.
Doubt out. Coin it.
Can we make that? Is that a new term? Doubt.
It is. I'm going to make it.
Doubt out.
Doubt out.
Hey, man, I'm going to go upstairs and doubt out, man.
Yeah.
I liked when you guys called her O'Dowd. That was hilarious.
Thank you. That was Irish singer over there.
Maureen O'Dowd.
Yeah, it's like Obama. He's Irish too.
So. Yeah, sure.
All right. So we get some closing credits or something.
Oh, the Benny Hill soundtrack.
Oh.
Oh. I love the fact that you can edit.
I'm starting to collect some coughs. I'm going to just make a whole.
Yeah, Aaron's going to make a. Yeah. He's going to release like a remix of coughs.
Cough track.
I really think he is.
Well, of course, the most famous cough, the opening of Sweet Leaf.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, Chris can do that perfectly.
Dude, start doing impressions.
We can get him going at one time. There it is. It's coming.
Oh. Goddamn, concentrate, man.
Concentrate. Why is it called concentrate when I can't focus? That's the way I feel.
Shut
that's
up.
The shit, that's the shit I feel right now.
Rob, did you just make that up?
Yeah.
High five.
Thank you.
He's got the Buddha action going.
Add a little
man.
Clarity just, right there.
He just brings out the good lines. Contemplating.
Feed me oil.
All right. So we will wrap this up.
Yeah. Thank you so much again.
Yeah, Rob.
It was great having you on.
RSM in the building.
Rob St. Mary, the projection booth, projection-booth.com.
Dabbs. It's a Freudian slip there.
I
thought he said dabbish.
That's what I thought.
You wanted to say dab?
Dabbish? Projection.
Never mind.
Yeah, projection-booth.com. Re-entry, the Orbit Anthology. Be available soon. Sometime. Next year.
Soon. I got a fundraiser coming up. Buy it early.
Yeah. There you go.
In October.
You said you have a fundraiser coming up?
Yeah, my publisher is a nonprofit publisher, so we're doing a fundraiser, basically a pre-sale.
Sorry.
Can you give any more info on that, or do you have to wait?
Oh, I didn't know you wanted me to go into that.
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, we should put the info out there when you have it, but if you have it now, let's put it in.
On our Facebook, too.
It won't go live until the middle of October, so I will send you the information then. But
yeah,
what it is... the book is going to be one of the most, I think it'll probably be one of the most technically challenging and beautifully created books that Wayne State University Press has done. And it's going to cost a little money to do it. It's going to be full size because these magazines were like full tabloid size newspapers.
Yeah.
So if you're in Detroit and you read the Metro Times, you know about what size this thing's going to be. Full color, 300 plus pages.
Oh, man.
Reprints of articles, you know, like I said, basically a whole narrative telling the whole thing. And in order to pay for it, I need to raise about 17 grand. And what we're going to do is offer some really cool stuff. And probably the level that I figure most people are going to want to come in on is the pre-sale on the book. So for $60, you get the book and you get a nice little tax write-off too. Because the book isn't going to cost $60, but it's going to cost a little money. So so if you're looking for a good tax loss at the end of the year, a little charity deduction, I could be the place for you.
That sounds like a bargain for that book. Yeah. You can talk me up for one.
Yeah, it's going to be good. We're going to have that. We're going to have you had Scotty on recently from Hype Ignition. Scotty's going to be doing some Orbit shirts only for this campaign.
Fuck yeah.
Nice.
Back in Trent after 20 years?
I knew about that. I couldn't say anything.
I was just thinking that in my head, and I was like, Scott should do Orbit shirts for this, and there you go. You guys are ahead of me.
It's only going to be for that campaign, so if you want one, you got to come in at a certain level to get that. We got some cool stuff, so it's going to be good. Like I said, I think we're going to get there and going to make this book super kick-ass and celebrate what would have been Orby's 25th birthday in the fall of 2015.
Been that long.
Cool. And then, yeah, we'll have you back on as soon as
definitely
the campaign launches, too, and talk more about the book. Maybe even have you and Scott on at the same time.
Oh, Scott's great. Scott actually created at least one shirt based on a suggestion. Was it's not a good day with the AK-47 on it.
Yeah.
That's mine. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I gave him that line, you know, just a little joke. But we're always bouncing ideas. I'll come up with something, send it to him. I have to tell you, like, getting his shirts and just walking around with them, I have gotten more, like, compliments and comments on certain ones than I ever have with, like, anything else. It's crazy. I was in Denver a couple of weekends ago and was just walking around a Goodwill with the Steve Harvey Oswald shirt on. Which is Steve Harvey holding a sniper rifle. Yes. I got more comments on that thing in like one day than like any other piece of clothing I've ever worn. Like everything from just people laughing, go, that's funny, to someone going, oh, he was the other guy on the grassy knoll, right? So yeah, I mean, his stuff's great. And I love just the scrappiness of it. There's the whole DIY, you know,
yep,
quality that I really dig, and just really super cool guy. So we're working on that, trying to line that up so that we can have some Orbit shirts. And yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah, Battle Cats going on.
Yeah,
I know. I think that would sell. Like if I could just get a webcam and fight. Yeah. You know, come on, paying by the minute.
Put like a GoPro on each cat.
Play the exactly. Same song from Star Trek.
And that's how I would sell it, is it would be called Cat Fights, and I would get money from guys who thought it was going to be two women wrestling.
Yeah, yeah. Have a Jell-O cat fight.
Nice.
A little box of Jell-O. Still in the package. So,
on that note,
yeah,
we're going to wrap it up. We meet at this time number 8. We really are going to end it.
No, you hang up first.
Yeah.
No, you. No, you. No, you. I live more.
All right.
Thanks for following us on... Rob, how do we get a hold of you on Twitter or all of this stuff? Other than a projection booth, if people perhaps want to get... Yeah. Is the Orbit has stuff on social media.
It's Orbit Book. At Orbit Book, and my own personal is at Rob DET.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And ours?
At the Weedsman 420 on Twitter, the Weedsman Podcast at ChristopherMedia.net with the electronic mail. Facebook, just look us up.
Twitter.
No, you said Twitter.
No.
Well,
I don't know.
He said that. We covered it.
All right. So until next week, stay high.
Stay high.
Stay high.
If you enjoy this show and want more people to know about it, head on over to iTunes, leave a comment, and rate it 5 stars. Make sure you like and share us on Facebook, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Just search for Christopher Media. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Most importantly, we would like to take the time to extend an extra special thanks to you. Christopher Media could not exist without your support. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise.